This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Lord, deliver us from governing by crisis.
One night, I just woke up and went, killing Jesus. And I believe, because I'm a Catholic, that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Going up to the Spirit in the sky. It's where I'm gonna go when I die.
The American church just doesn't get what's happening to Christians in the rest of the world.
I think that in worship, people learn to speak Christian. And I'm concerned that we are losing the ability to speak Christian in our culture because too much of the worship either imitates the culture or sounds like the culture.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
If you think that there is no connection between the study and practice of education, on the one hand, and the passing along of the Christian faith, on the other hand, well, you've got another thought coming. According to Martin Luther, according to a lot of Lutheran theologians and educators in this country alone for the last 150 years, and certainly according to our guest this hour. Hi, I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. for Friday, October 11th. Our call-in number is 1-877-623-MYIE. That's 877-623-6943. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can tweet us at issuesetc. Our guest to talk about the Lutheran liberal arts education model is Dr. Thomas Korchuk. He's senior lecturer in the Department of Religious Studies at Niagara University in Niagara Falls, New York. He's author of the recent book from Concordia Publishing House, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchuk, it is good to have you on Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you this weekend.
Now, you write in this wonderful, relatively new book, perhaps the Evangelical Lutheran Church has been so busy with the mechanics of education that few have had the time to take a step back and ponder the bigger picture. What do you mean?
Well, I think when I look back, as Lutherans, we've been involved in establishing lots of schools. And we're always talking about how many schools we have. And that takes a lot of work, and you tend to get involved in just the day-to-day affairs, running a school and teaching class and things like that, that you never set back and say, well, why are we doing this? And what's the rationale behind doing it? When I was involved in starting a school. And that's one of the questions I stumbled across. I wanted to find out, why do we have schools? And why do Lutherans have so many schools? And then I started researching it, and there wasn't much out there to read. And so that kind of spun me off on the trajectory that I ended up going down.
Interesting. It's like it's so obvious, nobody talks about it. And when nobody talks about it, you can come up with all sorts of different visions without even knowing that they're all out there, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think part of the trap that we've fallen into is the co-opting a lot of the ideas and methodologies of secular education, trying to kind of Lutheranize them or Christianize them, and then put them in a Christian classroom, and it really doesn't work too well. There's a distinctive and unique approach to education that is Lutheran and is Christian.
So your book tries to take it the other way around, rather than sort of sitting here as Lutherans and saying, okay, what kinds of things can we pull off the shelf, or to change the picture maybe, what kinds of things can we take from the cafeteria that we can put on our tray and use in our school? you want to start with the Lutheran identity, the Lutheran theology, and you contend in your book that every theological system has and really needs a complementary educational model. Talk a little bit about that premise. What do you mean by that?
Well, in order to understand any theology, you have to be trained to think in such a way. If you haven't been trained to think in such a way, it doesn't make any sense. I think one of the problems that we encounter, and all Christians encounter, is that we've been trained in a system that is at its core and has an animosity against the Christian faith. And so minds are formed in such a way so as to readily accept teachings and beliefs that are antithetical to the Christian doctrine. So, for example, if you were to go back 200 years ago and ask someone, is the Bible the Word of God? Or is it important to believe only in the Christian God? They would say yes, and there wouldn't be any thought in their mind. Today, it's not uncommon for even Christians to say, well, all gods are the same, or we have to be tolerant of all religions and accept everybody's beliefs as equal, or that sort of thing. Now, what is it that enables a person then to think in such a way that would let them accept that teaching? And that's where the pedagogy, that's where the way that they've been educated comes in. And so many of the thinkers, the educational thinkers of the 19th century were manifestly against Orthodox Christianity. And they sought to reform education so that people would be more accepting of their theology and less willing to accept Lutheran theology and Christian theology.
So you have people who are erecting, as it were, educational bulwarks, educational defenses, sometimes educational offenses that go against the classic Christian faith. And that's the way that education is going to take you. And when you try to use the tools that come out of that milieu, don't be surprised if that's the direction in which your education goes, whether or not you're kind of slapping a bumper sticker on it with a Jesus loves me smiley face. Is that basically the point here?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I'll give one example. In the mid-1800s, Froebel, who's the founder of kindergarten, sought to construct an early education, early childhood education, with the express purpose that he felt that if the longer children were under the care of their parents, the more they would be educated and trained in the way of the faith. And so he intentionally designed kindergarten in order to get children away from their parents earlier and away from Lutheran catechesis earlier, so that they would be more willing to accept a world religion, as he called it. And interestingly enough, then, while many of Froebel's ideas were rejected in Europe, they were grabbed by Americans. And it was just beginning to become popular in the 1800s at the same time that the Missourians were setting up their schools in St. Louis. And they did a lot of work saying, this is something we cannot accept because it's contrary to what we want to do as Lutherans.
Well, I want to come back to that point about early childhood education a little later, but just to kind of get all the cards on the table in about a minute before we take our first break.
Right.
You're saying to us basically that educational philosophies, educational methods are not what might be called value-free, that there is a complementary educational model that really complements Lutheran theology. What is that?
Right. Yeah, there is no atheological system, properly speaking. Traditionally, Lutherans have looked to a very classical form of education that goes back to Augustine, and it builds on what is called the liberal arts, particularly the three liberal arts of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, that is, teaching children first to read well, then teaching children to reason well, and then teaching children to argue well and speak persuasively. And throughout not just the history of the Lutheran Church, but the history of the Christian Church, dating back, like I said, to the days of Augustine, this has been found to be a system that is complementary to the goals of Christian theology.
And so this is the kind of educational reform that Martin Luther really was trying to implement in Wittenberg even before he became a theological reformer. In about 30 seconds, could you respond to that point?
Oh, absolutely. Before the Reformation, there is about 75 years of educational reform that's going on in Northern Europe. And these are dramatic changes that are taking place. And what people are doing are going back to people like Augustine and getting inspiration. Well, now, as these educational reforms take place, all of a sudden it opens the mind, the theological mind, to a different way of thinking. And this allows the Reformation to take root when it comes along, because you have people who have been educated in such a way to think in such a way that they're receptive to evangelical theology.
We'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side of this break. Is it a greater receptivity of soul, or is it a greater ability to communicate? What exactly are we talking about here? That's what we will sort out with our guest, Dr. Thomas Korchuk, senior lecturer in the Department of Religious Studies at Niagara University, Niagara Falls, New York, and author of the recent book from Concordia Publishing House, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. We'll start in Wittenberg after the break and get to the future.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin on Issues Etc. this Friday, October 11th. Our topic this hour is the liberal arts model and Lutheran education. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Korchuk from Niagara University in Niagara Falls, New York. He is the author of the recent book from Concordia Publishing House entitled Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the future. Now, here's the bonus for you. We're giving away a copy of this book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future, to the listener who gives us the best question or comment this hour. So we will be anxiously awaiting your contributions to the program this afternoon. Let's set up a little bit more of the background of this, though, Dr. Korchuk. As we were going to the break, I raised the question. You were talking about an educational model that really prepares people best for the Christian faith. Are we talking about preparing them in the sense of softening up their souls, or are we talking about preparing them in the sense of giving them ears, as it were, with which to hear the word of the Lord?
Well, I think coming to faith is always the work of the Holy Spirit, and you have to be clear on that. But I think your second suggestion, giving them ears, giving people ears so that when you come to church, for example, and you sit down and listen to a sermon, it makes sense. That it's not rubbing against everything that you've been taught. It's if you've gone through, say, public education and been told that God has no role in a person's life, that sort of thing. Getting
or,
them
or
ready
that the world the evolved.
Word. Pardon? Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the that world the world evolved.
Yeah, or the world evolved, or that you could add a... I could keep on going about all the things that are contrary to the faith, but
sure.
Giving them ears that are prepared to hear the word and will hear it properly.
Now, we were mentioning before the break that Luther was an educational reformer. Even before he was a theological reformer, he was really trying to lessen the influence of Aristotle, particularly Aristotle's moral philosophy, and really open up more of the classics. And that put him into seemingly great company with the movement of Renaissance humanism. Where do those two kind of part ways, and where do they overlap, Luther and the Renaissance humanists?
That's a really interesting story, because we have the benefit of looking back and seeing how things all worked out. But you have to realize when the Reformation first gets going, there's a lot of misinformation and people wanting to read their desires into the movement. And so there's, Alistair McGrath says there's a productive misunderstanding that's going. That's many of the educational reformers and many of the humanists think that Martin Luther that's his thing, that he just wants a humanistic reform. And so they support him fully. And over time, it becomes clear that his is a theological reform, and that the educational reform is a supporting role of it. And so some turn their backs and walk away, and one would be Erasmus, who at first thinks that Luther is the cat's pajamas, and then over time says, well, but I don't like the theology here.
Yeah, some walked away, but not all. For example,
no.
There was Luther's right-hand man, as it were, there in Wittenberg, Philip Melanchthon, who was a historian, was a humanist thinker and teacher of some renown already by the time he came to Wittenberg at a relatively early age. Talk, if you would, a little bit about Luther's approach to classical education in his day as compared with Melanchthon's.
Well, I just want to say not just Melanchthon, but pretty well all of the people who are involved in the evangelical movement are coming out of a humanist background. Bugenhagen is a noted educator. He's a very proficient Latinist from Triptau in Germany, and he climbs on board, and he becomes kind of the go-to guy for establishing schools across Germany. He writes many of the orders. There is a difference that develops between Luther and Melanchthon over time, and I think it's their approach in the role of Latin. Luther, Latin is very much of a living language.
its purpose for maintaining Latin is to communicate the faith. And for Melanchthon, he's more into the classical Latin, Ciceronian Latin. And there is something of a parting of the ways with the two of them later on in the 1530s.
Well, that's just in terms of educational philosophy, to say nothing about the theological issues that we are not going to go into in this particular conversation. But that becomes important because when Lutheran theology gets brought by immigrants like C.F.W. Walther to America, they really kind of tend to go with the path of Luther, as you describe it, not so much that of Melanchthon. Talk about that, please.
Well, yes and no, because you have to realize they're all educated in gymnasiums. The founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod all had amazing educations that set them apart from almost everyone else. This idea that you have the American frontier that's being settled by country bumpkins is completely bogus when it comes to, especially the Lutherans. These are well-educated people, and they have well-educated leaders. And they were all educated very much along a Melanchthonian type of education, with of Ciceronian Latin, what have you. At the same time, they're coming when there's a renaissance in Luther studies. And so they go back to Luther, and especially his educational writings, and use those as templates for establishing schools in America, and use that as a model for how are we going to start schools in this new land? What sort of schools should they be? What are we going to try and do with them? And for that, Luther becomes a huge inspiration.
Now, in a couple of minutes before our next break, you have identified basically three theological touch points that are going to be the vital theological connection between Lutheran theology and liberal arts education, namely baptism, vocation, and catechesis. Could you discuss each of those just briefly before we go to break?
Right, and I think you're right on, and this is where we as Lutherans have a terrific contribution to the greater church, to frame education in a way that's different than is framed. So baptism, when a child is baptized, they're made part of the holy nation, and as such, they deserve the very finest education available, because they're part of the priesthood, they're royalty, so to speak. Vocation is one's calling, and one of the things about Lutheran understanding of vocation is that everyone's vocation is unique. You can't live it out just following a model of another. And so you need an education that's going to enable a child to make their way in the world and think their way through it. And I think especially in the 21st century, that's especially true there. You can't look back to the past. And finally, catechesis. All education is in support of catechesis, and that enables a person to properly understand God's Word and interpret God's Word.
So with these three touch points, your argument is kind of anticipating where we're going into the 21st century, that if we have these three vital theological touch points going for us as we try to make our educational efforts deliberately Lutheran, that's what's going to be the key to it. It's not so much something like teaching Latin. Give me 30 seconds, please.
Oh, you're right on that. When we had our school, we had Latin, and I taught my kids Latin, and it was great. But not every school can do that. But if you have those three touch points going, you kind of know where you're going. You've got an ultimate goal. You've got a bearing by which you can set your educational compass. And that probably will include some of those classical studies, such as teaching Latin, use of music, history, what have you. But it even if you can't include things like that, you know where you're going.
It's a fascinating subject and a huge one. We're going to be talking about it for another half hour with Dr. Thomas Korchuk. He is senior lecturer in the Department of Religious Studies at Niagara University in Niagara Falls, New York, author of the recent book from Concordia Publishing House, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Remember, there's a copy of this book potentially going to be on your bookshelf if you give us a great question or comment for Dr. Korchuk in the next half hour of the show. Our telephone number is 1-877-623-MY-IE. That's 1-877-623-MY-IE. The email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can tweet us at issues, etc. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilken, and we are coming to you live on this October 11th, a Friday afternoon. Hope you're having a good time driving home as you ended up a busy work week. Reflecting for a little bit more this afternoon about Lutheran education with Dr. Thomas Korchuk. We'll be right back.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites college undergrads to Christ Academy College and Phoebe Academy College, October the 17th through the 20th. It's a free weekend event that allows you to experience seminary life. For more information, visit ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ Academy College and Phoebe Academy College, October 17th through the 20th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Yes, we're giving away a book this half hour on Issues, Etc. Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future, Concordia Publishing House, 2011. The author is on the other end of our line, Dr. Thomas Korchuk, of Niagara University, Niagara Falls, New York. Give us a call and give us a great question, and the best one will get a copy of this book. 1-877-623-MYIE. That again is 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email is talkback@issuesetc.org. You can tweet us at issuesetc. I am Ken Sherb, having a ball filling in for Todd Wilkin on this Friday, October 11th afternoon. And we've got a phone caller on the line right now, Dr. Korchuk. This is Joanna listening in Indianapolis. You're on with Dr. Thomas Korchuk, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Hi there.
I'm currently an education major at a secular university. I'm studying to be a high school biology teacher. Many of my professors have told us that memorization and basically a lot of the classical forms of teaching are like old-fashioned, and they tend to tell us to stay away from those sort of things. But I'm having a hard time reconciling the other things they teach us about science and absolute truth with my faith. So I was wondering if you had any sort of advice for future educators and for those in the system right now.
Now, before you respond, Dr. Korchuk, let me just kind of tease this out into at least two piles, because it seems to me, Joanna, you're talking about two things that are certainly related, but they're a little bit different. One is at the level of methods, things like memorizing, and the other is really, for want of a better term, a worldview that underlies everything else, not just the educational enterprise, but the scientific enterprise that you're teaching about. Is that right,
mm-hmm.
Joanna? Okay,
yeah.
Now we got it. Dr. Korchuk, please.
Well, first of all, I can sympathize with your struggle. I know I would love to teach, but I don't know if I could teach in a public school system. I think the pressures would be too difficult. And I have a daughter-in-law, Katie, who wasn't in the teaching program, and she would have made a great teacher. But I think one of the things was just what you described, Joanna, the pressures against someone being a Christianity, and she's decided not to pursue that avenue. And yeah, it's really difficult to be a Christian and be faced with this. Part of it sounds, people hear about methodology and they think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with Christianity, but in fact it does. Even memorization. John Dewey your listeners may not know, he's one of the most influential American educators. But he was big against memorization for the reason that education was so closely tied to eternal truths. What are you going to memorize? Those things that don't change. And he said, well, we don't want children learning things like this. We want them to learn something that's relevant, something that's not Christian.
And something that is temporal by definition.
Right, yeah. And John Dewey is also one of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto. So that kind of gives you an idea where he's coming from. And he's also the most influential person in modern American education. That's kind of...
Do you have some suggestions of good books that Joanna might read, maybe books that she's not going to get assigned by her professors in class, but some books that will help her, in addition to yours, of course, that might be of use?
Yeah, actually, going online, there's classical education has come a long way in the past 10 years. Just doing a quick Google search, Lutheran classical education or even classical education, and there's some great books out there and thoughtful books that challenge some of the prevailing educational notions and kind of break that monopoly of public education that it has on educational philosophy.
All right, so Joanna, you have any follow-up that you want to ask Dr. Korchuk here?
No, thank you.
Okay.
It's been good talking to you, Joanna.
For a second, I thought you might not be there anymore, but we do have another caller here. Mike is calling us from Kansas City. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor, and I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And, gentlemen, thanks for the topic. I have two young daughters that aren't ready for formal education yet. They're still very young, but one of the things that my wife and I have just been reading, we just finished Luther's book, Bondage of the Will. And in that book, Luther is just a master at using logical thinking and critical thinking in order to debunk, he's actually debunking Erasmus's diatribe. And most people would think, well, that was, you know, 500 years ago, so that's really not relevant today. But boy, Erasmus's diatribe could have been written today about the American church in general. I mean, the parallels are striking. And what Luther has done in this book, in Bondage of the Will, he has not only used critical thinking and logical thinking skills, but he has also combined that with a proper theology of how we should view our God. And shouldn't this be fundamental to Christian Lutheran education?
Dr.
I agree. Yeah, I think so. One of the things we did when we started our school, this was in Pembroke, Ontario, was we introduced logic classes to grades 6, 7, and 8. And at first I thought, oh, these kids are going to just hate this course. And yet, if you think about it, what does a 12-year-old want to do more than anything else, or a 13-year-old want to do more than anything else? They want to argue. So with logic, we are teaching them to argue properly. But what I discovered, it was a great catechetical tool, but because often we'd talk about different logical tools that are out there, and then would open Scripture and would look for how those tools were used in Scripture. So when Paul makes an argument, he's using sound logic to make those arguments, and he's using established logical tools to advance those arguments. So it was really good to be able to open Scripture and see that. When Luther made his famous stand in Worms and said, unless you can demonstrate by Scripture and plain reason, really what he's saying is plain logical rules. So use Scripture and use established logical rules to prove me wrong. And this is what Christians need. Especially in today's world, when we're called on to give witness to the faith to an unbelieving world, to do so not just in a logical way, but also in a persuasive, in a rhetorical way that can win people over.
Following up on Mike, who was talking about Luther's Bondage of the Will, we have an email from Eric in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. He writes, in our modern day and in my area, the Lutheran presence in education has dissipated because of a lack of support. I send my children to an evangelical Christian school that teaches decision theology and Arminian doctrine. What can I do to teach my children the truth of the Scripture without casting aspersions upon the system that they're in? Got about 2 minutes, Dr. Korchuk, before our next break.
Yes, I think that's a good comment and a good question, and it's a very real problem, because the reality is we just don't have Lutheran children like we used to going to Lutheran schools, and it's hard to support a Lutheran school, and so you take the next best alternative. I think the most important thing is what's going on at home, because if the Christian faith is not being taught at home, if the catechism's not being taught at home, then it doesn't matter what school you're going to send them to, it's going to have little effect. And so as a parent, just to be diligent in teaching the catechism, teaching children to pray, teaching them the difference, so when they go to school and they hear the decision theology, they can say, yes, but this is not of my confession.
It may sharpen their logical skills just a little bit more, wouldn't it?
Well, that's for sure, because I know in our Lutheran school we had some non-Lutherans attending, and occasionally that point out some logical inconsistencies with their own Reformed church. And as a teacher, I had to be circumspect in how I handled that one.
Let me give you a little tease here, Dr. Korchuk. On the other side of our break, we'll be responding to this email from Sharon in Dorsey, Illinois. Sharon writes, I don't think many Lutherans realize that much of public education is based on this anti-Christian worldview, like you've been talking about there, Dr. Korchuk. It's very subtle, so that even those of us who have been raised in Lutheran education ourselves don't pick up on it so readily as our own kids are going to public school, except maybe in the sciences. And since so many of our Lutheran schools have followed in the world's footsteps, Sharon goes on, trying to Christianize the methodologies of the world, including our Lutheran teachers' colleges, how do we retrain our people? How do we retrain, especially and most importantly, our teachers to embrace the classic model? That's going to go right in tandem with a question that I'm going to ask Dr. Korchuk out of the break about how in the 19th century Lutheran school teachers were taught in this country to use this model of Lutheran education that came down already from the 16th century. Remember, the topic is Lutheran education from Wittenberg to the future. We're touching down in the 19th century, but that's all for the purpose of getting us to the 21st. We'll be back after this break.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
It's Issues Etc. Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin on this Friday, October 11th. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. Thomas Korchuk of Niagara University in Niagara Falls, New York, talking about the liberal arts model of education and Lutheran education. And we were kind of in the midst of considering a question that came via email from Sharon in Dorsey, Illinois. Sharon acknowledges that in many cases, we as Lutherans don't recognize that there are philosophies and methods of education that are being kind of foisted upon us, and more importantly, foisted upon our kids, that do not comport with the classic Christian faith, do not comport with Lutheran theology. She asks, how do we retrain our people, and most importantly, she says, our teachers, to embrace this model? And Dr. Korchuk, maybe you could tell us in answering that how our forefathers in the 19th century did it.
Well, I think sometimes we don't appreciate the educational work that went on in the 19th century. Even the immigration, I contend, the Saxon immigration was at its heart and core motivated by schools, by a concern for pure doctrine. In fact, I came across some journals that said the reason we came was because for the education of our children, that clear. And the quality of education that was offered was something that couldn't even be approached by public schools. One statistic I saw was that the average in mid-19th century America, the average public school teacher had perhaps a grade 4 or 5 education, and then a couple years of teacher's college after that. In Missouri Synod schools, where they were often taught by the pastor, because half the pastors were also teaching pastors, you had an educator who not only had finished university, but knew Greek and Hebrew and Latin and German and English and history and music, and could offer an education that couldn't even be approached by public schools. And I think maybe that's kind of an ideal goal we should look at, having the very finest leading our children. And I do have to say that in our Lutheran schools, there are many, many consecrated teachers who are just out there doing an excellent job and trying really hard. And even in our Lutheran universities, there are educators who really are working hard to recover Lutheran philosophy of education.
Theoretically, every student we've got in teacher education should be thinking consciously about a philosophy of education and even articulating it before they graduate. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the things that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod throughout its history has neglected. I read a book that was written in the 1930s that looked at religious education across America. It wasn't written by a Lutheran. And when it came to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it talked about how great the schools were and the teacher training, and it says, but one thing is lacking. They have yet to articulate a clear philosophy of education. And if they do that, then look out. And that was in the 1930s.
Yeah, there have been efforts. There was a group that was working on it more or less off and on in the 50s. And, well, your book may be about the most recent contribution I've seen. Are you aware of anything else on the horizon?
I don't know. It's a pretty slim field, unfortunately. But there is some stuff being done out there. If you look at classical Lutheran education, some of the more current stuff that's being produced, I think there's some thoughtful material there.
Well, and that's the word, thought. It's to go about one's teaching in a thoughtful way and to read and take things in and not just to kind of grab off the shelf for a lesson plan wherever you can get it.
Right, yeah. But that takes a lot of work. It's hard to do. And really, putting myself in the shoes of a classroom teacher, it's hard to do when you've got 30 children sitting in front of you.
Yeah, well, you don't do it right when the kids have entered the room. You've got to
No.
be thinking about these things long before that. Let me ask you a little bit about the actual place of the Bible in this education. And I want you to talk about that both in terms of the 16th century and the 19th century, as well as now in the 21st century. We talked about baptism, vocation, catechesis. Where does the Bible itself play in?
You know, one of the interesting things is that every Lutheran knows that when the Lutherans started schools in the 16th century, it was so that the people could read the Bible. I remember hearing that through Sunday school and whatever have you. We started schools so people could read the Bible. In fact, that thinking, that thought, doesn't come along until much later, the 17th century, when the Pietists start saying that. And the reason is because they just want to emphasize Bible reading. And let's not worry about the other arts. Let's not worry about the other fields of education. Let's just concentrate on Bible reading. In fact, if you go back to the 16th century, the time spent on what we would consider religious education classes is very, very slim. Sometimes one morning a week, and then maybe a Saturday morning. But catechesis was embedded throughout the curriculum. And more importantly, scripture was used in the context of worship, where it properly belongs. And so they would have daily matins or vespers, and they would participate in the Sunday morning divine service. And so the Word of God was taught within the context of liturgy and within the context of worship.
Yeah, now, of course, these are not in opposition to one another. The Bible is taught through the liturgy. The Bible is taught in the catechism. Just in about 30 seconds, because there's one other thing I want to ask you about. What do you think should be the role of the Bible, say, in Lutheran, especially elementary and high schools today?
You want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, to what degree should you spend time actually on, say, Old Testament study for a year? A lot of Lutheran high school curricula have that as a standard course.
I think when schools are established in America in the 19th century, that's when Bible survey courses become more important. And it's certainly important to know the scriptures, by all means. It's certainly important to understand the context of the Bible stories. As a pastor, as one teaching the faith, I'm more and more putting emphasis on teaching people to pray properly, to pray the catechism, to be able to participate in liturgy properly, and worship, and to worship properly.
One more question, and I've only got about 30 seconds for you to respond, and that is, we talked about early childhood education and how in its beginnings the kindergarten was designed as a way to get people away from their parents, away from the religious influences of the home. These days, for example, in early childhood education in our congregation in Moberly, Missouri, that's the way we're going to get the Word of God to kids. Your response.
Yes, And I guess early childhood education has progressed quite a bit since the 1800s, and I sure hope it has. And I think Lutherans are finding ways to use this as a tool of evangelism, of witnessing to the faith, and of teaching children. What would differ in your church versus Froebel's theory is Froebel wants to get them away from the church and get them away from parents and get them away from Christian teaching.
Yeah, whereas, and we want to get them to it.
Right. The motivating factor is to drive them to the Word, to drive them closer to the parents and closer to the church.
The hour has flown. Dr. Thomas Korchuk, thank you very much for being our guest this afternoon on Issues, Etc. Dr. Korchuk's book is Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. And by the way, Joanna in Indianapolis, send your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll send you a copy of that book. You can purchase Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org and click Listen on Demand. All truth is God's truth. That's a bedrock assumption of good Christian education, certainly of Lutheran education. Yet not all truth yields a saving knowledge of God. The liberal arts inculcate civic righteousness, morals, a natural knowledge of God. They do more, say, of God's truth than the discipline of agriculture does. But even morals, natural knowledge of God, and civic righteousness never save anyone. What the liberal arts do, however, is to teach people to use a book, to use the scriptures, to use the catechism, to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If for no other reason than the fact that the liberal arts prepare us to receive that word from God, this form of education should be near and dear to us. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Todd will be back on Monday on Issues Etc. He'll be discussing Naaman and Elisha, with Pastor Tom Baker. And he'll talk about repentance with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Thanks for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.